Mr. Chair, we came up with an indeterminate, but let me get to the last page where...
Mr. Chair, while she's looking?
Yes.
I apologize for being out of the room, but I tried to get this question from Andrea as I was on the way out. Do the dash fours encompass the House side negotiations on Representative Winters and my bill? Remember, that was going to be the strategy. We get this bill over from the Senate, and then all the work that we had done on the House side on our bill, we would put into the Senate bill, and I just want to make sure.
Chair Williams, Representative Shirley, I must confess, I was not a part of the original work group and also invited myself in, so I missed the earlier.
Oh.
The dash fours actually represent cleaning up some agreements upon which we agreed upon, but I'd understood that your bills and issues during the whole discussion of the big work group and the smaller work groups were fleshed out entirely in this bill, so that this bill encompassed the thoughts of both 667 and your House bill.
Don't be troubled, Representative Shetterly. I'm the chair of the committee and didn't know that there was a work group, so I wasn't invited either.
And Chair Williams, Representative Shetterly, unfortunately, Dale Penn is out of town, so
okay.
Josh Marquis is playing Dale Penn, and Bill Hauser is playing Ingrid Swenson,
right.
The two people who were key in this in the beginning. But I think it does include everything and all the issues that were brought on the table. The
trouble of the understudy role, isn't it? Okay, do we...
Mr. Chair, I have the answer. For the next biennium, the estimate is $36,311. That would include DNA testing. That would include counsel appointed to represent these individuals and also the impact on court operations.
Okay, good. Could someone switch seats with Mr. Hauser so we could be close to a microphone? Thank you.
My name is Bill Hauser. I'm with the Oregon Criminal Defense Lawyers Association. I don't think I do a very good Ingrid Swenson, actually, but we think it's a good bill, too. Thank you.
And you're okay with the dash threes and the dash fours? All right, then. Are there questions for the committee? All right, thank you. We will close the public hearing on Senate Bill 667. We'll open a work session. The chair would move the dash A3 amendments to Senate Bill 667. Is there
A3?
Any discussion on the amendments?
I'm sorry, A3?
The A3s.
Hi, V. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
The A3 simply add the court where the person
okay.
has to file the motion.
Okay.
All right. So my motion is to move the dash A3 amendments into Senate Bill 667. Is there any discussion? Any objection? A3s are adopted. The chair would move the dash A4 amendments to Senate Bill 667. Is there any discussion on the A4s? Is there any objection to the A4s? We have the amended bill in front of us. I would move Senate Bill 667 as amended to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. Is there discussion? Objection? All right. Well, we'll move to the full committee. Representative Shirley, that'll give you some time to figure out whether or not it's gotten the inclusion that you needed it to have.
Representative Shirley to be the carrier?
Yeah, why don't
sure.
we make Representative
Thank
Shirley
you.
The carrier? That would be effective. Okay, we are now going to go to a... Well, we've got the work sessions here, and we've still got a quorum. Let's do a work session on Senate Bill 126. Senate Bill 126, Council, can you tell me what that does?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 126 authorizes juvenile court to order a parent or legal guardian to pay supervision fees for the youth in probation and allows placement of youth adjudicated delinquent prior to age 12 in the Oregon Youth Authority once the youth reaches the age of 12. You have the dash 3 and dash 4 amendments. Some of you what the Carl Myers is here in the bill, and if I remember correctly, what is taken out of the dash 2 amendments and it is not in one of these amendments was the issue of a minor being in a jail. That was the issue of sight and sound. Also allows the placement, qualifies that a juvenile department may enter into a diversion agreement if the youth is eligible for a formal accountability agreement.
Mr. Meyer, do you want to come
dash
forward?
Four amendments.
Ms. Osborne, you had a problem with this, but the amendments take care of it, am I right? And the courts as well, so everyone's smiling. Carl, why don't you make about a two-minute...
Chair Williams, members of the committee, Carl Myers, on behalf of the Oregon Juvenile Department Directors Association, I'll talk only as long as I need to get Senate Bill 126 with the dash 3 and dash 4 amendments passed through this committee. The dash 4 amendments.
Speed it up then.
The dash 4 amendments simply removed the problem that we had that was addressed in our public hearing a week ago Tuesday. dealing with 18-year-olds or juveniles that have been adjudicated are in the jurisdiction of the juvenile court who turn 18, and what do you do with those? We are not conceding that there is not a problem. We are conceding that we cannot fix it this session. We have been able to resolve the federal sight and sound issues, I believe, but cannot resolve the other constitutional issues with that. We have suggested that that issue go to the Oregon Law Commission's Juvenile Code Revision Committee for an interim study to make sure that all the players are at the table. It is a significant issue, as Judge Murphy from Linn County suggested a week ago Tuesday, but we just concede that we cannot fix that issue this session. All the interested parties have essentially signed off on the Dash 3 and Dash 4 amendments, and I'd be happy to answer any questions as to what those amendments or the original bill do.
Thank you, Mr. Meyer. And the Dash 83s, and I was chatting with counsel about something else, but the Dash 83s are the ones that address the issue that the court had raised.
Correct.
That lowers the fiscal considerably, am I right?
It eliminates the fiscal impact and will allow this bill to proceed without going through the Ways and Means process.
Any questions for Mr. Meyer about Senate Bill 126? Okay, we will close the public hearing. We weren't in a public hearing. That was a work session. So I guess we're still in work session. Chair would move the adoption of the Dash A3 amendments to Senate Bill 126. Is there any discussion on the amendments? Is there any objection? A3s are adopted. Chair would move the adoption of the Dash A4 amendments to Senate Bill 126. Any discussion on the A4s? Any objection? Adopted. I'd move the amended version of Senate Bill 126 to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion on that motion? Any objection? I'll move to full. Do I have a volunteer to carry?
I'll take it.
Good. Thanks, Representative Ackerman. Will carry Senate Bill 126.
Allows the court to appoint independent panel experts in examination of this court and creating parenting plans. This would be Tim and Nancy, I believe. I don't think so.
Oh, no. Not a paper.
I don't think there are any amendments, but let me check.
No, there are. There's a big stack on it. A big giant paper. Well, let's open a public hearing on Senate Bill 654 and bring forward Mr. Wassman, Katie Suver. And Mr. Landauer. Closing a public hearing on Senate Bill 654 because none of them are here.
They probably upstairs in the fourth.
That's fine. No, I didn't say that.
Well, that's what Senator Minnis does.
I know,
not
that's
there,
what he
your
does.
Bill's
we're,
dead.
We're going to be there next week. We're not there quite yet. We're going to be there next week.
I got mine resurrected.
I'm going to open a work session on Senate Bill 167. Senate Bill 167, counsel.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, allows the court to appoint an independent panel of experts to conduct an examination, evaluation, and assist the court in creating, implementing parenting plans and resolving disputes regarding parenting times when there are minor children involved in divorce or other domestic relations suit. You have a amendments, I think.
Yeah, there's a Dash A2.
Nancy Miller, I think, can explain these amendments to you. She's shaking her head.
Please, okay. Mr. Travis, come forward. Our day wouldn't be complete without hearing from you.
You've got A2s, you see?
Timothy Travis, Oregon Judicial Department. Mr. Chair, you say the sweetest things. The A2 amendments are essentially the bill that you saw previously, the Troxel fix.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry.
This is the attempt by the work group that was commissioned by this committee through Representative Shetterly to try to work Oregon statutes around so that they conformed with the new Supreme Court decision in Troxell. Also, the statute is reconfigured for editorial ease and for readability, as well as making those substantive changes. And if there are any questions, I'd be glad to answer those.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I want to let you know that you do have the staff measure summary in front of you that Marilyn O'Dell wrote for House Bill 2427, which is the bill that we had before some time ago on this issue. And this would be moving this bill into that bill into this bill.
We're moving it in, though. We're not gutting the original version of 167. So the original version of 167, which I think had only testimony in favor and no opposition testimony at the last time it was before the committee, would now be the accommodating vehicle for Senate Bill 160, or excuse me, for what was House Bill 2427. And you've got the issue in front of you in the staff measure summary on 2427, which defines the Troxell matter. Representative Shetterly, you worked fairly hard on this issue. Do you want to take just a minute and perhaps brief the committee on, once again, refresh everyone's recollection as to why we're at the point we're at on Troxell?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. I will be brief. We spent a good bit of time on this, I think, when we took it up the first time. The work we did on House Bill 2427 was in response to the Troxell versus Granville case out of the United States Supreme Court dealing with the Washington grandparents' visitation statute, and the holding in that case recognized constitutional rights in favor of parents with respect to the care and custody and control of their children. And the holding of that case, although it did not directly address Oregon's statutes, at least implicated the statutes we had in Oregon. So the interim work, Judiciary Committee put together a broadly representative work group of practitioners, Department of Justice, Legislative Council, and staff. And the result of that was House Bill 2427 that recognized a presumption in favor of the rights of the parents with regard to custody and control, and then otherwise established grounds, bases on which that presumption can be rebutted under different circumstances, getting at issues relating to the best interest of the child. Well-balanced. I thought we did a good job. I think the Senate got a little bit sidetracked by some really poor reporting that came out of the Oregonian on this that I think did just a horrendous job of conveying what this bill did. And fortunately, we in the House, I think, had the opportunity to look at this bill originally without having that kind of bad press overlaying our efforts on this. And I think this gives us a good chance to send it back to the Senate, let them take a fresh look at it. I know we passed it out. What was the vote off the floor?
I don't recall exactly, Mr. Chair, Representative Shetterly, but it was, if there were any no votes, there were no more than two.
Yeah. So I think it's worth sending this back to the Senate with a statement to the effect that we meant it. And I think the Senate probably coming back in this form will be able to see their way through to concur.
And, Mr. Chair, if I might, unable to resist the temptation to say just one more thing. During the Senate hearings, there were suggestions made by the chair of the Senate Judiciary Committee about how the bill could be amended to make it a better bill. The amendments that you have in front of you adopt those amendments. So those concerns were taken care of in this amendment. It's not precisely the same bill that was passed the first time. It's been improved.
Okay, we're in work session. We
Mr.
have
Chair,
Representative Shetterly.
I move the -2 amendments to House Bill Senate Bill 167.
Representative Shetterly moves the -2 amendments to Senate Bill 167. Is there any discussion on the A2s? Is there any objection? They're adopted.
Chair,
Representative Shetterly.
I move Senate Bill 167 as amended to the full committee with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Shetterly moves Senate Bill 167 as amended to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. Is there a discussion?
Yes.
Representative Vicki Walker.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I spoke with Senator Clarno about this bill because I have a constituent who was concerned when the bill was amended, that it's not the same bill that this person liked. She wanted to include a requirement in the bill that custody evaluators have training in domestic violence. I spoke with Senator Clarno about that. She was concerned about putting that in the bill because of the fiscal impact and because of the tremendous amount of time put into this legislation. She indicated to me that she sits on the Oregon Family Institute Board and would work to implement training without legislation. So with that representation, I can support this bill and tell my constituents that we hope her needs will be addressed.
Okay, thank you. Anything further? Is there any objection to moving the bill to the full committee as amended?
Well, and I actually spoke to Senator Klarno's staff and not herself. I need to clarify that.
All right. There is no objection. The bill will move to full committee. We're going to go to work session on House Bill 2503. Ms. Ray, do you want to come forward? And Ms. Osborne, you're going to tell us about the Dash 3 amendments. You'll recall, colleagues, that this was a bill brought forward by Representative Cruz. Initially, it had some language in it that would have prohibited people living within a certain number of feet of a school, daycare, park, playground, or other place where children regularly congregate. It was sort of an unworkable version originally based on most of the testimony. He's worked closely with Ms. Ray at the parole board. Been a long day already.
I know.
At the parole board, and they have worked together to craft some amendments. We had the Dash 2. There were some concerns. We have the Dash 3s in front of us now. If Ms. Ray would maybe just walk us briefly through the Dash 3s, that would be helpful.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Diane Ray, I'm chair of the Board of Parole and Post-Prison Supervision. I, on behalf of the board, community corrections directors, Department of Corrections have been working closely with Representative Cruz on amendments to this bill. The board and the other entities that I mentioned urge this committee strongly to pass this bill with the Dash 3 amendments. What the Dash 3 amendments do is put into statute the current conditions that the Board of Parole orders for sex offenders who are released from prison onto supervision. We favor the Dash 3 amendments over the Dash 1 and Dash 2 amendments because these conditions in the Dash 3 amendments more closely mirror what we currently order for sex offenders. Our concern on the other amendments is that it would provide sex offenders with a lower level of supervision or less quality of supervision than we currently have. And it's my understanding from talking to Representative Cruz, while I can't say that he favors the Dash 3 amendments, I know that he wants the board and community corrections to, as carefully as we can, monitor sex offenders. And we believe that the Dash 3 amendments give us that tool in a much better way than the other Dash amendments. So we ask this committee, if you are going to pass this bill out, that it be with the Dash 3 amendments.
Thank you. Ms. Osborne.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, Kathy Osborne from Juvenile Rights Project. I do have some concerns about the Dash 3 amendments, and they're as they relate to juveniles who have been convicted as adults. We think of those youth as being under Measure 11, but I did find out yesterday that in Multnomah County, while 94 youth in the year 2000 were charged with Measure 11 offenses, only 8 were convicted of Measure 11 offenses. Most of the other were convicted of non-Measure 11 offenses but were waived to adult court. If those were sex offenses, that these kids would be included in this. Those sentences could range anywhere from probation sentences, which would not come under this, but they also could be incarceration sentences of a year or maybe two. So if you have a 15-year-old who gets a, say, 18-month sentence, that person's going to be getting out before they're over the age of 18. What that would mean is, when you look at the prohibitions, that unless the board could give a general approval for this person to have contact with children, with people under 18, the frequenting areas where people under 18 regularly congregate or working or volunteering at a place where people regularly congregate. Unless there a general approval can be given for those, that's saying to these 16-year-olds, you cannot associate with your peers. That is not very good for those kids, because one of the treatment things is those kids need to be around positive peers, and having those 16-year-olds have to be with people that are over 18, that's going to just more make these kids be more adult-like rather than being able to be essentially still kids. So that's our concern. The other concern is in lines 13 through 16. For the juveniles who are able to go to a youth correctional facility, unlike the adult prison system, the youth correctional facilities do provide sex offender treatment, and it's very good sex offender treatment. And if those youth are able to stay at a youth correctional facility long enough, they might have actually completed sex offender treatment already by the time they're able to get out. I know this committee's heard about the adults with sex offender treatment, but for juveniles, the sooner we can get them into sex offender treatment, the better success they have in treatment. So we want them to take part in the sex offender treatment at the youth correctional facilities. But if they've already completed it, I don't think it's necessary for them to actually then enter and complete yet another program that they're going to have to pay for.
Let me stop you right there, Kathy, and just ask Ms. Ray, do you have any of the same concerns that she's raised about the kids who are sort of in the in-between segment here?
Mr. Chair, no, but if amendments need to be made to the Dash 3 amendments to accommodate those concerns, I would go along with that, because I believe that on the whole the Dash 3 amendments are appropriate. As to her first concern, there are very, very few ballot measure 11 juveniles who are still under 18 if they have been sentenced to OIA or DOC custody. Most ballot measure 11 juveniles are 16 or 17 at the time they're sentenced, and they're over 18 by the time they are released. So if you're over 18 and you've been convicted of a sex offense, particularly if your victim was a juvenile, I don't think that there should be a serious problem with that person being restricted from contact with minors. Secondly, on that point, the restriction against contact with minors is at the discretion of the board, the supervisory authority, and the PO. That's exactly how it works today. I think it works well, and exceptions are routinely made for sex offenders when appropriate to have contact with minors under certain circumstances.
And the Dash 3s wouldn't prohibit that, would they?
No, they actually provide for that.
Yeah.
On the second issue of sex offender treatment, I think that is an extremely good concern. I'm glad that it was raised. As a practical matter, I think if a parole officer had an offender who had been successfully discharged from a good treatment program in custody, they would not require more treatment in the community just for the sake of more treatment. But if there needs to be an amendment with respect to someone already having done sex offender treatment in custody, that's fine with us.
Okay. Thank you. Questions for either of these two? All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Here's what I'm going to recommend, committee. I'm going to recommend we adopt the Dash 3 amendments to House Bill 2503 and move it to the full committee. In the meantime, I'd encourage Ms. Osborne to communicate with Ms. Ray and with Representative Cruz, and to the extent that maybe there's one more clarifying amendment that might give Ms. Osborne some comfort, I'm happy to accommodate that if we can do it within the time frame that we're working under, so, and that Representative Cruz doesn't object. So I would move the Dash 3 amendments to House Bill 2503. Is there any discussion on my motion? Is there any objection? Hearing none, the threes are adopted.
Mr. Chair, I assume that you do not want this on the agenda for tomorrow morning.
No.
Sometime next week.
Right. I think we would roll this onto the agenda for either Monday or Tuesday of next week. So give them some time to do that. So the chair would move House Bill 2503 is amended to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. Is there any further discussion? Any objection? The bill would move to full. We are going to carry over, colleagues, and I appreciate you sticking with us here this morning. Senate Bill 83A, it's Senator Courtney's bill, and I don't see him here. And having him testify once is probably enough for any hearing. And we're going to also carry over...
Especially on a school safety zone issue, which we get every session.
I'm going to carry over Senate Bill 654A as well, because when I called it, although I see a couple of them here now, they weren't here before, so we're just going to hold that bill over, probably put that one back on this calendar for...
For work session, right, Mr. Chairman?
Yeah, that's right.
We had a hearing.
Yeah. Well, we did have the hearing.
They'll all be back.
Yeah, let's put Senate Bill 654 back on the calendar for probably Monday or Tuesday, Bill. And with that, everyone, thank you, and we are adjourned.